All right. Let's turn to the book of Romans, chapter number 1. Romans, chapter number 1. Before you stand, I want to read something to you that I got off of the internet the other day. I thought this was interesting. This is called Church for Everyone. A church congregation that decided to have 4 worship services every Sunday. There was one for those new to the faith, another for those who lack traditional worship, one for those who lost their faith and would like to get it back, and another for those who had bad experiences in churches and were complaining about it. Anyways, those that were new to the faith, those that were traditional, those that lost their faith and wanted to get it back, and those that were just complainers. And you know what they named the 4 services? Finders, keepers, losers, weepers. Anyways, I thought you all would enjoy. Let's stand to our feet. All right. I threw that in free of charge this morning. Brother Dennis, we'll edit that off the tape or something. I don't know. Romans chapter number 1. God is good. Verse 14. Hallelujah. The writer, Paul, says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Somebody say gospel, good and loud. Hallelujah. Describing that gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Verse 17, for therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let's agree together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. We praise you this morning. Lord, we honor you for your touch and presence. Thank you for our Sunday school class. Thank you for every song that's been sung. And Lord, we rejoice in you today, in your goodness and your provision, what you have done. Lord, we just thank you for your hand extended to our lives. Thank you for conviction. Thank you for, Lord, just the power of your Spirit instructing us in our lives. And Father, we just acknowledge in all of our ways today and the way of this message that you have your way, that you minister, Lord, to each and every one. We praise you in advance for what you're going to do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Church, do pray for me this morning that the Lord would help me. How many want to hear from the Lord today? Hallelujah. Just lift our hands and praise him right now and just that he'd have his way. Lord, we just praise you this morning. We honor you this morning for the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise your name this morning. Praise your name this morning. Hallelujah. Just have your way in this place. Minister to your church and children with your power. Open hearts, open minds, instruct, lead and guide. Have your way, Jesus. Glory to your name, Jesus. Glory to your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. I tell you what, I feel the wonderful presence of the Lord in this place. Please keep this framework today. Let's keep the Lord on our hearts and minds. We need the help of the Lord, and we're totally dependent on him that the message go forth. Did you notice verse 1 in this chapter? I do want you to hold this place. Notice Paul ends verse number 1 talking about the gospel of God. I believe the entire book of Romans is wrote with the gospel in mind. I'm going to define what the gospel is here just a little bit after a while. But if y'all can follow along the best you can, then let's turn to Psalm chapter number 40. Paul is saying here, referring to the gospel, the subject is the gospel of Christ. It's defined as the power of God. It is the gospel of Christ, for it is, somebody say, is the power of God unto salvation. A spoken message can do transforming work. Think about that. The power of God unto salvation, but it's available to the believer. You have to believe in this spoken message. Amen. And regardless of your nationality, regardless of your race, regardless of your economic status, what side of the track you was raised on, silver spoon or plastic spoon, how many know one or the other? Regardless of how you was raised, the gospel is available to you today. And we concluded in verse 17, for therein, in the gospel, is revealed the righteousness of God, telling to us, the just shall live by faith. And I want the Lord this morning to stir our faith. I want to recognize and understand the power that's in the gospel and have that in my life and convey that to you to where you embrace and have it in your life. I believe Jesus can do a changing work in His church and children. I believe the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is the central theme of not just the New Testament, but the entire Word of the living God. I believe Jesus came in order to die on the cross that we could be saved, delivered, and everything we gain from God, understand, we gain through and by what Jesus has done for us. Amen. Paul is saying here, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God. This message, and I want to encourage the church once again, you know, this is but a piece of paper. But in the right hands, the words of life recorded on this piece of paper, I believe could lead someone to know Jesus Christ. It would be worth all 500 if one got saved. Can you say amen? But notice Psalm 40, and I want to encourage you to proclaim the gospel and to spread the news. We are commissioned by Jesus to go into all the world. But what are we going to take into all the world? One person I heard speak the other day, an atheist, talked about the damage. Me and Brother Larry, in fact, was listening to it the other night. The damage that religion has done. I don't want to carry religion to the world. I really, really don't. But I want to carry hope to the world. Hope that in Jesus Christ, amen, our lives can be reconciled back to God. Our lives can be changed and we could have passionate fellowship with God. We can live in a manner that pleases Him. And man was created for one purpose. That was, we was created to be the subjects of God. Understand, He's the King. He sits on a throne. We're His subjects. We serve Him. We worship Him. We praise Him. Amen. Verse number 8 in Psalm chapter 40, He said, I delight to do Thy will, O my God. Yea, Thy law is within my heart. I have preached. Now, friends, you might not be a pulpit preacher, Brother Micah mentioned it, but your life preaches a message every day, all day long, wherever you're at, on the job, at the grocery store. I want you to know your life preaches a message. David said, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, Thou knowest. I have not hid Thy righteousness within my heart. And how many can understand that righteousness was there, but He's saying, I'm just not keeping it to myself. Amen. Hallelujah. I have declared Thy faithfulness and Thy salvation. I have not concealed Thy loving kindness and Thy truth from the great congregation. If you knew that there was a train coming through and a child was playing on the tracks, would you sit back and say, well, really, it's none of my business? How many understand it all of a sudden became your business? How many would do everything you could to get the child off the track in time? And we know as children of God that a destruction is coming upon the world, and I believe we need to be passionate about spreading the message, telling the antidote of a disease that's ravaging this world. We've got the answer, and the answer is in Jesus, and it's up to us to share that message. Fast forward to Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 8. Don't keep this word. Got that capitalized. The word of the gospel is the power of God. Don't keep it to yourself. Brother Tim, we must give it away. And friends, I want you to know you can't give it away quicker than God can dump it back on top of you. How many understand the Bible says freely you have received, freely give. Amen. And I believe the more you give out, the more you gain from the Lord. You can't outgive God. It's amazing that this blessing is not diminished or lessened when you subtract or divide, but it's multiplied and added because God keeps giving it back. That's God's math. I can't figure it out either, but I like it. Amen. Mark 8, verse 38, Jesus said, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." I am not ashamed of this gospel. Friends, I want you to know I'll stand toe to toe and look the President of the United States right in the eye and tell him that I'm a born again, blood bought child of God, that I believe that Jesus is the only way. Friends, I've made up my mind. I've cast my entire lot on Jesus. I have no contingency plan just in case Jesus was wrong. I don't believe Jesus is wrong. I believe He is exclusively the only way to God, and I'm putting everything on Him. And guess what? One of these days, hallelujah, if He comes by way of rapture during my lifetime, I'm going to be changed and taken up to meet the Lord in the air. But friends, if I go by the way of the grave, when I open my eyes and look upon my Savior, I'll know that I fought a good fight, I finished the course, I've kept the faith, and I'll know it'll be worth it all after a while. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I'm not ashamed of this. Not ashamed of this. Hadn't seen a friend in a while. When I pastored in Harlem back in the late 90s, I ran into him, I don't know, 02, 01, sometime in that year framework. I met him at Walmart in Danville. And he started telling me, he says, "Man, I need you to pray for me." And before he said another word, I said, "Let's pray." I grabbed him by the hand and I started praying right there in front of Walmart and God and everybody. Of course, you know, he just sort of bristled up a little bit. Who knows what I'm talking about? How many believe God can hear you in Walmart? How many believe God can hear you in Kmart? Amen. How many understand God knows where the aisles in Kroger is? But the brother, it touched him and it helped him. And you know, today he's pastoring a church in the Church of God.
Hallelujah.
That's all right, friends. I want you to know I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And it don't just work in the church house. We got this church house mentality. Oh, if I could just get them to the church house. You can pray somebody through on the street corner. Hear me now. You can pray somebody through at your kitchen table in the basement of your house. Hear me now. As you're driving down the road with your window down. Hallelujah. You can pray somebody through in the next vehicle beside you if they're wanting to pray. My goodness, I feel good today. You know why? Because I know that the power of God, it's not in me or my works of righteousness. It's not in the many times I've got up to bat and I've struck out. But friends, it's in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's in my champion, the eternal Lord of glory. I'm talking about the one and only Savior of the world. His name is Jesus. He's the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. He's the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. Isaiah 9 and 6 called Him Wonderful, Counselor, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father, the Mighty God. He's the King. The government is upon His shoulder. He was born of a virgin. They call Him Emmanuel, which means God with us. He's more than just a man. He's more than the son of Joseph. Hear me now. But He's the Son of the living God. Woo, glory to God. And the message of His coming, the good news of His coming, there's power in it. Are y'all with me? Say amen. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter number 4 says this. I'm not ashamed. He says in verse 14, catch up. He says, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. For their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Somebody say amen. In other words, if you're guilty of this, if you're guilty of transgressions, then you're guilty, bear your punishment. In other words, you get what you deserve. But Jesus talked about you being blessed when you're falsely accused. Hear me now. If you're not guilty, and how many know if somebody accuses a child of God of something like that, they need to be not guilty. Somebody say, good preaching. But notice what it says here. Hallelujah. It says, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. Paul and Silas done the heinous crime in Acts chapter number 16 of delivering a young girl from a devil. A heinous crime. You know why? Because it affected somebody in the pocketbook. Got them What? Got them beaten. Got them thrown into maximum security. And at midnight, Acts 16 and 25 said, Brother Tim, they were singing praises to God. They wasn't ashamed of this. Even after they went through all that they went through, they still was able to praise God. Where is our praise today? Sister Jones sung that. Why won't my children praise me? Do you not have a praise today? Has Jesus Christ not lifted you up out of the miry clay? Has He not put your feet on a rock? Do you not know that He whom the Son has set free is free indeed? He's done this for you. You can't keep your mouth closed. You're going to have to tell somebody. It's the power of God. Woo! Glory to God. Luke chapter 2. I want to define the gospel today. I want you to know what the gospel is. It's from the original language word evangelion. It's where we get evangelist. And it means the announcement of good news. Evangelist goes about telling good news. Hallelujah. In the middle of evangelist, how many see the word angel? How many have never noticed that? In the word evangelist is an angel, a messenger from God. Luke 2, verse 8, the proclamation of our Lord coming. Are y'all ready to shout today? Hallelujah. Verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds. Who did the angel decide, or God decide, would be the first hearers of the greatest news announcement this world's ever heard? He chose the lowly shepherds. I'm glad God chooses who He chooses. Because I think that if it would have been left up to me, I would not have chose me. I'm glad He chose me. I'm glad He loved me enough to let me realize I needed Him. Are y'all with me today? I'm glad prevenient grace set up in my heart and I recognized I need a Savior. And my sins became sinful. How many understand when you're convicted, your sins look really sinful? Y'all with me today? But I'm glad He opened my eyes, Brother Delmer, let me see how sin was so sinful and I needed a Savior. There was nothing I could do about it by myself. He let me recognize that He took my place on the cross of Calvary and that if I in faith would receive and walk in that I could be saved. I'm thankful for the grace of God that drawed me in. Verse number 9, the shepherds watching over their fields by night, and lo, an angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord showed round about them, and they were sore afraid. Here we go. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, glory to God, I bring you good tidings. Of what? Of great joy. I like that. Which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is called Christ the Lord. I love the nativity story here and what it says. Three things here, friends. It's good news that brings great joy for all people. That's telling me that through Jesus, hallelujah, all people can have great joy because of the good news. Because a Savior was born into the world, find 1 Corinthians 15, because a Savior was born into the world, I can have joy today. My fellowship with God can be restored. And friends, I'm not interested in how sinful you were, but what I am interested in is how good is my Savior. Because as sinful as you were, my Savior is that much greater. Where sin did abound, the Bible says grace did much more abound. You can't out-sin the grace of God. And don't get me wrong, I'm not giving you a license to sin, but I'm telling you how great His grace is. Understand, how can he that's dead to sin live any longer therein? Friends, we've been buried with Him in baptism. We have risen a new man, Brother Mike, and we need to walk in the newness of life. I'm not going to go ahead and be a corpse walking this world. I'm breathing. I'm living in Jesus today. He's pumped life and vitality and energy in me because of the message of the gospel. It is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 15. I want to define for you by the Bible what the gospel is. And it tells it here in no uncertain terms. 1 Corinthians 15, 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare. Somebody say declare. I'm defining. I declare unto you the what? Gospel. Here we go. Which I preach unto you, which ye have also received, wherein ye stand, by which ye were saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you. How many understand that word if? It's a big word. We got to hold on to this. Unless you have believed in vain. Now, what is this gospel that he preached, they received, they stand by, they're saved by, they held to, and they believed in? This gospel, Brother Tim, is verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all which I received. How that, here we go, Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. Help me understand, this is the gospel. Let me keep reading. That he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. Friends, I want you to know that the gospel entails a lot, but in a nutshell, this is what the gospel is, that Jesus died for our sin. Hallelujah. That he rose, was buried, and he rose from the dead the third day. I believe it. And do you believe that since that is the gospel, that in the message of the gospel given to someone, that there is power? You know, the gospel is on the back of this thing we printed up. And if we could give them power to have forgiveness in their lives, and we could give them power to be changed, and we can give them power to have fellowship with God, would it not be worth it all? I've been reading a book by T.D. Jakes, and in the book it talks about forgiveness and such. And he was giving an illustration about an acquaintance. I may have already shared this with the church, but if I did, I'm sharing it again today. Feel to. An acquaintance that had got in trouble. He had went into partnership in a business with someone that was quite unscrupulous. And he wound up before a judge, no fault of his own. How many of you ever by association gotten in trouble? Are y'all with me? And there he was before the judge, and the judge heard the testimony, and he recognized right off that this man was not at fault himself, but he just got in a bad deal. So he was exonerated that day, and in the book it describes how that he squealed like a teenage schoolgirl. How many can understand the relief? Are y'all with me today? Of having that weight lifted off your shoulder. Amen. And then the writer, Brother Jakes, started talking about when we forgive other people. How many have been forgiven before? How many know the joy of forgiveness? Do you know what you can do? You can give that to somebody. You can help somebody receive that. Justification, according to the Bible, is a legal term that means to be declared not guilty and in the high court of heaven through Jesus Christ. We're declared not guilty. We're exonerated. Hallelujah. The load is lifted off. No wonder there's great joy to all people. It's because of the message of the gospel. I want to give somebody that feeling. How many felt like a $10 million? I don't know, $1 million don't seem like a lot anymore, does it? But it is. How many felt like $100 million when you got saved? The thought that we could give that to somebody else. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. The gospel is the good news, the evangelion. I can't pronounce that, but y'all can't either, so you don't know if I'm wrong. It's the announcement of good news. Hallelujah. And I believe the power of God is in that announcement. In the declaration. But here's the thing. 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 3 says this. He says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Verse 4 says, in whom the God, little g, how many catch the little g there, of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And Paul went on to say, for we preach not ourselves. I'm glad. Friends, if you ain't figured me out by now, been here for 9.5 years, if you ain't figured me out by now, you're never going to. I preach Jesus Christ. He is the focus of what I preach every time that I get up here. Amen. And I'll tell you why I'm that way, because I'm afraid. I'm afraid of preaching the wrong thing. And I know if I preach Jesus, I'll preach the right thing. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, the exalted Lord. Let's just raise our hands and praise Him. If you know Him as Lord today, if you know Him as King of Kings, praise Him. If you believe He's the exalted, risen Lord, praise Him. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, You are so good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The enemy wants to blind the eyes of our loved ones, our friends. Brother Micah shared in Sunday School of the scientists, Nobel Award-winning scientists, who admitted that there is so many flaws in the theory of evolution. It just don't make sense, and he knows it don't make sense, but he refuses to believe in God otherwise. You know why, Brother Micah? Because he's blinded. The enemy's blinded. But I'm glad that my eyes are open today. I want you to turn one more time. Romans chapter number 15. Give me just a couple more minutes. I'm circling the airport as we speak. Paul said in one place, he says, "For I determined not to know anything among you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified." This is the power of God. We need power today. We need power for our lives. We need victory. You know, we're in a hurting world. We are in a hurting world that there's not a lot of victory. I think me and Josh were reading the other day. I can't even remember where we were reading, but we ran across the word temperance. And we stopped and asked what that meant. And the word temperance means self-control. We live in a world today where there's very, very little self-control. You know, people look to the bottle, look to the needle. Amen. Look to appeal to get them from moment to moment. No self-control. But friends, I want you to know the Lord wants us to have self-control. Temperance is one of the fruit, part of the fruit. Sister Vicki noted it's singular, part of the fruit of the Spirit. And God wants you to be in control. Someone say amen. But we need power. We need power to be forgiven. Power in the gospel. There's forgiveness in the gospel. Say amen. Through the cross of Calvary, Jesus being our substitution, He offers freely forgiveness. We know that. Amen. I hope we know that. But did you also know that through the cross of Calvary, Jesus offers sanctification? I can be forgiven, exonerated of my sin, but guess what? I can be changed and walk in a life pleasing to God. He offers us victory. Seven times in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, He tells to each individual church, to he that overcomes. He said, "Will I give this, that, and the other? I'll give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. I'll give him a white stone and a new name written that no man knows save he himself." But seven times He gives a promise to the overcomer. Friends, we need overcoming power today. Something that's lacking in individual lives. We live in a country. Can I preach? And I know this won't be politically correct, Brother Micah. You mentioned about that. But we live in a country where we're discouraged to take personal responsibility. Someone messes up, fails. Oh, how did society fail them? Maybe it was an individual choice in sin. I'm just stabbing in the dark, friends. How many are with me today? We make choices today. Hallelujah. But I want you to notice Romans 15. Sister Vicki, will you come and prepare a song on the piano for us? I tell you, don't you feel the wonderful presence of the Lord in here today? The Lord put this on my heart. The message I'm preaching, I believe the Lord put it on my heart to preach. And I believe the Lord put this on my heart because our church needs to be more active in spreading the message of the gospel. It is the Great Commission. Jesus didn't say, "I'm sending back to God the Father, run to your church and shout and speak in tongues in your church house." Somebody say amen. He told us to go into all the world. And how many know there's nothing wrong with shouting and speaking in tongues? We do that. We're going to keep on doing that. But Brother Tim, that's not our commission. Our commission is to spread this gospel. This gospel is the power of God. And, you know, so many times today we look to have victory in our lives. I'm going to tell you this. You know what we need to have victory in our life? I'm going to make this as simple as the nose on your face. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Some people don't know the truth. I'm free today because I know the truth. Hallelujah. And the truth, simply put, and I'm not oversimplifying this, friends, but it is what I believe. The truth is entirely in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I believe that from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. And that truth, Brother Tim, and that truth alone has set me free. I'm free today because of Jesus. Romans 15, verse number 19. Interesting verse to close our message out this morning. But Paul is describing how God used him when he spread the gospel. And he said, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and around about Antioch, Illyricum, I have what? Fully preached the gospel of Christ. With this gospel comes His presence. With this gospel comes the power of God. Three things this morning: power for forgiveness, power for sanctification, and power for healing. Whatever you need healed in your life, your body, your spirit, your marriage, your lives, whatever it is, how many understand God can heal that? Whatever that is. Let's stand to our feet all over the building this morning. Hallelujah. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, and that is qualified in our scripture text we began with for the believer. To everyone that believes. If you don't believe the gospel this morning, it's not going to do you any good. But if you believe the gospel and you're relying upon that, available to you is the power of the living God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning. Lord, we praise You this morning for the gospel. Thank You for the good news proclaimed to us. We receive it as the power of God. We receive it as the life-transforming force that each of us needs today. We receive it as healing in our bodies. We receive it as deliverance from the oppressive forces of this world. We receive it, Lord, today in all its fullness, all that You intended it to do in the lives of Your children. We receive it right now. And we believe it's the power of God for everything in our life. We praise You for what You've done. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Let's make our way to the altar this morning. Kneel at your seat. Find a place and pray. Everyone, let's find a place and call upon Jesus this morning.